Welcome to the Bundesliga show. I'm John Hartley from the Bundesliga World blog. Joining me is Terry DeFellin from the Bundesbag. Terry, we had a bit of a disjointed pod last week, what with me not being around and all that. Still, I think that we can make up for it with a bumper episode this time around. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right, John, and here's why.
Yes, to start this jam-packed edition, let me introduce a guest who will be with us throughout the show to discuss the latest from the Bundesliga. He's a football blogger, an award-nominated podcaster. Ladies and gents, the Gibb Football Show's Andrew Gibney. Cheers for joining us.
Good evening, gentlemen. A pleasure to be on with your good selves. How are we doing? Everyone okay?
Yes, very well. Very well indeed. Thanks, Gibb. Bit starstruck to have an award-nominated podcaster on, but you know, I mean, I think I'll calm down after a while.
Get you a cold drink, Terry, or a beer.
It's always a cold cup of tea on this show.
Cold tea for the Bundesliga show. That's what it is.
Well, chaps, it won't have escaped your attention that the transfer window slammed shut this week, and while there were some crazy goings on in the English Premier League, over in Germany it was a slightly more relaxed affair. Still, there were still some moves, so let's have a look at the late comings and goings for Bundesliga clubs. I suggest that we start with Wolfsburg, because they had a very busy transfer window all around. We've made a lot of noise already about the Edin Dzeko departure, so we don't really need to go over that ground. But what about his potential replacements? Patrick Helmes arrived from Bayer Leverkusen for a fee believed to be in the region of 8 to 12 million euros. Tuncay also arrived from Stoke, Jan Polak from Anderlecht, and that was all on deadline day. Dieter Hernes was certainly pleased with his late deals, but what do you guys think?
I think Helmes is a fantastic signing. I'm a little bit surprised. I'm assuming that perhaps the situation at Leverkusen for him wasn't that great. I know he had that bad injury, didn't he, that took him out for a long while, and maybe he's not quite settled back into that sort of starting lineup. Nevertheless, I'd have thought that Leverkusen would have been keen to have kept hold of him, but obviously we don't know the full story. But you know, their loss or apparent loss is definitely Wolfsburg's gain. He's a goal machine, proven at the Bundesliga, and you know, a perfect provider of user of ammunition from Diego's bullets. It'll be fantastic for them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about you guys. I was quite surprised by this, because I obviously not every day looking at Bundesliga news, and I thought it was quite a surprise that he left Leverkusen. They've got Derdiok and Kiesling, but what else have they got kind of behind those two?
I guess they've got Vidal as well, haven't they? He's probably more of a midfielder, but he scores a lot of goals, and I just felt as well that it was sort of, I mean, I can only think that there must be perhaps not a dark reason, and just another reason why they've let him go.
More of a non-footballing reason, maybe. Yeah.
Conceivably, yeah. I mean, again, I mean, it's pointless to speculate, because we have no genuine insight. But I mean, there's probably something there that maybe they've decided that it would be in everyone's interest if he did maybe seek challenges elsewhere. But again, as I stress, a fantastic acquisition for Wolfsburg. A brilliant player, an absolutely brilliant player. I don't know too much about Jan Polak, though. I mean, I don't know whether or not anyone else does.
I was speaking to Chris Mayer, my Belgian correspondent, and he was telling me he's kind of box-to-box, kind of, he's quite good at getting into the box, and he always tracks back. He's not a sitter, he's not a number 10, but he kind of does everything else. So,
and we have seen him in the Bundesliga before, of course, because he was at Nürnberg. So he's you know, he has done the rounds of the Bundesliga a little bit, so it's a return to old ground for him to a certain extent.
What about Tuncay, John? I mean, you know him quite well. What do you think? Do you think he's going to be good? Good, your friend Tuncay.
Well, yeah, he is my latest follower on Twitter, which is
is he?
Yes, he is. I haven't mentioned this to anybody. Yeah, I'm not excited about it.
Not in the last 5 minutes.
In the slightest at all. But Tuncay arriving. Well, I think he is a good acquisition. To start with, I was thinking about going, oh, he used to be at Middlesbrough, so he was he knows McLaren, but they weren't actually there at the same time.
No, it's Southgate signed him, yeah.
Exactly. So, but when I think about him, when I he's definitely an impact player when he comes in. He can really crack a ball from distance when he really wants to. But I do find, and I have to say this, I'm sorry, my new friend Tunchai, a little bit inconsistent from time to time. So, and that's not exactly... what Wolfsburg really need, consistency. So I really hope that there's a little bit of a turnaround in his form, and that will have the knock-on effect for Wolfsburg as well.
One less follower for you.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tunchai, but you have time to sort it out. It's fine, mate. It's fine.
I think he's a cracking player, Tunchai. I liked him from the moment I saw him when he came on, when he started at Middlesbrough. Yeah. I really like his style. He's a really explosive player, full of heart. And I think that, you know, that there are different challenges that the Bundesliga throws up to the Premier League, and I think Tunchai is it's conceivable that he's made for the German top flyer. I think he'll be I'm backing him to be an excellent signing for Wolfsburg. I think Wolfsburg have done some good business.
Do we think that Wolfsburg, Steve's going to change his kind of style formation? So now he's got Griffiths, got Tunchai, he's got Helmes and Mbakani who are going to come on to. It's a lot of strikers for a one-forward team.
Yeah, I wonder whether or not he might. I mean, what I'd love to see him do is go 4-3-3 and really have a go, you know, and say to hell with the defence. Our defence is rubbish. Let's just score as many goals as we can. Yeah. But I'm not certain, because with Friedrich back and Kjær there in there, they should have a decent defence. So it might well be. Of course, it could be academic for Steve. Because, you know, I think it's sort of it's day by day as far as Steve is concerned. Unfortunately.
Well. I think that we'll just have to see how these new players embed in. Really, I think that when you've brought in all these players, it would be absolutely ridiculous for Wolfsburg to get rid of McLaren straight away, because he's going to be bringing in half a new team, so people can't expect this to settle straight away. I think that they might get a few good goals, a few decent results off the back of it, but judging these new players and McLaren with these new signings straight away, I think would be a bit foolhardy, to be perfectly honest. If they were going to do it, I think they should have done it before the transfer window, so whoever the new coach coming in would be would have a little bit of a chat with Dieter Hoeneß and they could sort it out. But we'll see, but let's move on to Mbakani. That's Deo Mercy Mbakani. I have such trouble saying that, but he's joined from Monaco. He had a great record in Belgium when he was with Anderlecht and Standard Liège, but he hasn't really found his feet in France, has he, Andrew? You know more about him than we do.
Yeah, he moved out his €7 million signing. I'm not sure it was kind of Gilacombe's pick as a striker, but he was kind of convinced into spending the money. I mean, he started well. He got a goal against Lorient. He got an assist, and then I think as Monaco struggled, he struggled. And then when we got to the winter break, he got a text message from Guy Lacombe basically saying, don't turn up at winter training, you need to go train with the reserves. So I think he got the hint and went, I'm not wanted here. But I mean, I thought he would do really well in France. He's big, he's strong, I mean, he's quick on the ground, he's good with his head, he's good with his feet. To me, he does look like a good replacement for Dzeko. I think he's kind of got the same attributes, maybe not as honed as Dzeko's was, but he's definitely got the talent there if they can get the best out of him.
Well, that sounds like a real plus point for Wolfsburg, definitely. I mean, this we've talked about that they've done some good business. So if this guy is, half as good as he should be, then they're doing really well. They should be quite strong.
And if his rubbish, don't come to me saying that I said he was good, but.
This is it's out there for eternity.
He's got the attributes to be good. Let's say that he's got the raw parts.
Okay, well, somebody else that we know has got what it takes to be a great player, but we won't dwell too much on it. It's another Wolfsburg signing. It's Sergen Lakic. He will be joining from Kaiserslautern to Wolfsburg in the summer. But because it's a summer move, we won't spend too long talking about that. So, Lautern fans, don't worry. He's still got a little bit of time to enjoy his talents on the Betzenberg. But moving on, there were some exits from the Bundesliga as well. In the end, we didn't see the departure of Ruud van Nistelrooy, but there was the departure of Michael Bradley from Borussia Mönchengladbach to Aston Villa. I think that this could be a real loss for Gladbach. Mikel Fonseca's men may have won at the weekend, but they're still rock bottom. Surely they're going to miss a ball-winning midfielder like Bradley.
Yeah. I mean, I like Michael Bradley. I liked him from the first day I saw him for US, and he really looked good. I think he's probably moved to a league where it will suit his style, but I think, yeah, it's a big... You want a kind of strong ball winner, someone that gets in the box, can get you some goals, and that's what Gladbach kind of, apart from the one they win, but they're missing goals, and you can definitely get you them and provide that steal in the midfield. So yeah, it's a big loss for them.
I mean, they've got Michael Fink in, haven't they, during the transfer window, and he's supposed to be a defensive midfielder. I don't know whether or not he's quite as explosive a player as Bradley. I suspect not. But it might well be that Fonseca's decided to maybe review his strategy and feels that perhaps, you know, he can do without him. But it does seem a peculiar one because, leaving aside, you know, what you guys have just talked about in terms of his physical attributes. I mean, his heart and his drive, and I think the willingness to sort of really, you know, get stuck in to a relegation scrap is the kind of guy that you want around in that, assuming of course he hasn't, you know, done something hideous in the dressing room or something like that. But I don't mean, you know, hideous, but unless he's fallen out and he's not in favour. But it does on the surface seems like a strange one for Fronzek, but at the same time, you know, a great signing for Aston Villa, I think.
No, absolutely, and Gerard Houllier was kind of glowing about this. It was the only player that Villa brought in on deadline day. I know that they did a lot of business elsewhere, but Julio was talking about how he'd seen him live at the World Cup 4 out of the 5 games that he played, and the other one that he saw on TV. So he'd done a lot of research on him at the World Cup, and to be fair, he had a very good tournament there, as well as it, you know, probably being one of Gladbach's better players in a very disappointing season. So I think that it is going to be a big loss. But I think with Bradley, it was almost a matter of time, really. He's 23 years old. He's got 50 international caps. And in a suffering side like Gladbach, you're not going to keep hold of a player like that, I don't think.
I mean, what surprised me is that he's gone on loan, hasn't he? They've not even got any money for him, which...
I think that's coming in the summer.
Yeah,
it's almost certainly going to be an option to buy there, isn't there? A deal's been done.
You think someone as good as Bradley, you would maybe hold out and maybe get some money so you can bring someone else in before the window shuts, but that's...
Yeah, well, again, not knowing the details of the transfer, but yeah, I mean, but the whole thing seems a bit odd, doesn't it, Gibby? Sort of, you know, doesn't seem quite like it's... it's a completely straightforward idea of a move. I mean... A player like that, playing at a club like Gladbach, going to Villa, of course, it's a great step up for him. But now, that's the peculiar thing. Why now? Why not in the summer? But, you know, there you go.
Well, let's just chat very, very briefly about the most curious story from the transfer window. And that was the failed transfer of Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting from Hamburg to Cologne. Now, I don't know if you boys heard about this, but this one didn't go through because of a faulty fax machine, which meant that the paperwork didn't get to the DFL in time. There's nothing like relying on antiquated technology to get the job done, is there, boys?
Do they not know about network printers and stuff like that? Interestingly, this was brought up in the Guardian Football Weekly podcast, which I listened to earlier on, and about in that there is the whole thing about transferring legal documents. But I'm pretty certain that if you signed a piece of paper, scanned it, and then emailed it and then printed it, then I think that would probably work the same thing, but I don't know for certain. These guys just need to get with
it. It sort of shatters that the German efficiency kind of stereotype.
It does, yeah. I mean, in a way, it's quite reassuring to have, you know, these sort of like, you know, stereotypes, you know, undermined.
I saw a piece by Jonathan Wilson there that had a spelling mistake in it, which kind of gave hope to the world.
Where do you go from there, Jonathan? We're very sorry, but there we go.
Yeah, but you messed up big.
Yeah, you messed up big. Well, I think that wraps up transfer, boys. But in totally unrelated news, I got a good grade in my German exam recently because I'm learning German. Right. But after this piece of music, I caught up with someone whose German is vastly better than mine. So let's hear from him at the other side of this piece of music. Welcome back to the Bundesliga show. We've got something a little different for you this week. Usually we dial up a commentator or a journalist, but this week we have a man of many talents, Stuart Dykes, PR guy for the Schalke UK fan club. He also works for the Excellent Supporters Direct, and to top it off is a translator and interpreter for some Bundesliga clubs. Stuart, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Stuart, it's all about your linguistic skills today that we want to chat about. Obviously, football is an international game, and with some players and managers coming to the Bundesliga for some time from all across the world, who are some of the overseas imports that you've had some dealings with?
The first guy I translated for was Arsene Wenger, although he took me back rather by surprise by refusing to speak English, but he spoke German. He's from Alsace, so he speaks excellent German, so I had to translate the other way around into English. But since then, we've had Avram Grant, Mark Hughes, and I'm obviously working for Steve McLaren now.
Wow. One or two others. That's quite an array of names to have on the list. I mean, you speak about Steve McLaren. Am I led to believe that the first time you translated for him wasn't one of his most uplifting days since his arrival in Germany? Is this right?
Yeah, I've been the guy who previously been interpreting for him at packed in because his mother was seriously ill, and so I got a call. I was in Augsburg with Schalke for the cup game, and I got a call from the press officer saying, can you come and translate it for us tomorrow, and you know, if everything goes well, then perhaps you can stay on for the rest of the season. And of course the first game was Cottbus in the cup, which Augsburg lost 3-1 at home. So I did the job, but just thought, well, that's the first, your first and last job for Steve McLaren, because everyone in the press obviously thought he was going to get the sack. So I thought, well, nice work, but that was it.
Well, obviously he's stayed on, and hopefully you'll be able to, you know, to look after our Steve for a little bit longer. Now, looking at the Bundesliga as a whole, obviously that you get involved with a lot of translating, not just of what managers are saying, but also with what the clubs are saying in general. Do you see that the Bundesliga is reaching a wider audience around the world, certainly within English speakers? Have you seen any evidence of that since your time in Germany?
The number of people clicking on, I do the Schalke website, for example, and Borussia Mönchengladbach, and the number of people coming onto the website to read the English language information is increasing. And, you know, obviously, because we're doing it in English, the clubs are not only aiming this information at the UK market, it's just for the whole of Europe, the world, basically. It's about providing them with English language information that can be accessed by anyone. And it's just part of the drive as part of their marketing drive to increase the popularity of the Bundesliga.
And I think I think it's managing it, really. I mean, I'd like to think that this show is, well, sort of evidence of that, really, of us getting more involved with the Bundesliga. Now, during your time in Germany, you must have, and as a translator, you must have some great stories of games that you've been at, and of coaches that you've translated for. What are some of the tales of the translator that really sticks out in your memory?
Well, probably my favourite story was having to translate for the board of Manchester City when they played Schalke the other year, and as an FC United supporter, obviously with mixed feelings, but anyway, the Schalke board were entertaining the Manchester City board on the day of the game, so I was called over to interpret at lunch, And when I got there, I was told, well, we don't really need you because we will do it all in English. We don't need translation. But anyway, take a seat and, you know, have some dinner and do some small talk with one of the city directors, which I did. And at the end of the meal, I got up and one of the directors, Brian Bodek, asked me where the Christmas market was because he wanted to take something back for his wife. So I was in the process of explaining to him where the Christmas market was and how to get there. And Gary Cook, the chief executive at City, just butted in and said, wait, you're not going to the Christmas market. Stuart's going to take us to the pub. I just looked over at my contact guy at Shark and said, you know, well, what do I do now? And he said, well, if they want to go to the pub, then that's what you can do. You take them to the pub. So I left with the situation of taking Gary Cook, Mike Summerby, and Brian Bodek, one of the directors, to the pub. And anyone who's been to Gelsenkirchen will know that Gelsenkirchen is not really known for its vibrant pub scene. But there is a pub in Boer, one of the suburbs where the Schalke players are known to go. So I decided to take them there. So we pull up at this bar. It's on the first floor of a shopping centre, a small shopping centre in Boer. And we go in this pub. It's more like a wine bar. And there's just no one there. You know, it's completely empty. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, you've just come in with these people. What are you going to do with them? So we were just basically twiddling our thumbs, and Gary Cook was taking his emails from Abu Dhabi on the BlackBerry. And all of a sudden, the door opened, and around about 150 City fans just rush in, who, you know, completely amazed to see Gary Cook and Mike Summerby and Brian Bodek just stood at the bar. You know, they just hadn't expected that at all. And Gary Cook just said, right, come on, let's set a round for everyone in the pub. And I just thought, what are these City fans doing in this bar? Because it's, as I say, it's on the first floor of a shopping centre. It's not this kind of pub you'll be walking down the street and you'll walk past it, you'll see it and say, let's go in here for a drink. So I asked some of these guys, I said, what made you come in this pub? And they said, well, we arrived at the railway station and we were met by police and they herded us onto these buses. And when we just thought we were going to the ground, and we got on the bus and we drove off, and we could see the stadium, but the bus carried on going, and we went past the stadium and thought, what are they doing? And what had happened was they'd been taken by the German police on these buses outside and stopped outside the shopping centre. And the guy gets up at the front of the bus and said, look, inside the shopping centre, there's a pub on the first floor. You go in there and have a drink, enjoy yourselves, and at 7 o'clock or whatever time, we'll pick you up again and take you to the stadium.
What a fantastic taxi service.
It's amazing. This guy's just saying to me, is this normal in Germany? Do they please take football fans to the pub and then take them to the ground afterwards? I say, well, it's obviously the first time I've heard of it. But, of course, not only did they get taken to the pub, but when they walked in the pub, there was Gary Summerby Gary Cook and Mike Summerby, who I'm reliably informed is a City legend. So it was happy faces all round and just an amazing atmosphere. And the fact that I had an FC United scarf on was neither here nor there.
Well, there you go. You know, the fact that Man City fans will even let you off of that makes for a good afternoon, I'd say. And who else have you translated for that have maybe put you in a bit of a difficult situation?
The first time I translated for Mirko Slomka was Champions League Schalke Chelsea, and I had a habit of trying to control situations at press conferences as a professional translator, a professional interpreter, should I say, saying to the press officer beforehand, if I hadn't translated for this person before, could you perhaps have a word with the coach and ask him if he can to just say two or three sentences at a time, because you know, I'm translating this consecutive interpretation, so I've got to write everything down, just key words for each sentence, and then try and remember roughly what he said and then repeat it, relate it to the English journalist there. So I said, could you get him to try and just do two or three sentences and then stop, and then I can translate and then we can carry on. So Mirko Slomka walks into the press conference. He's got a big smile on his face. We've just drawn 0-0 with Chelsea at home and actually been a better side and perhaps been a bit unfortunate not to beat them. And he sits down, and the first thing he said was, I've just been told by the translator not to talk so much. And he got this, obviously got this huge laugh in, from the German journalists, and the English journalists are looking there thinking, well, what's he said that's so funny? And I'm totally speechless, you know, about what he said. My mind just went a blank, you know, and I took a few seconds to recover and just basically say, well, the coach has just said I shouldn't talk, the translator has just said I shouldn't talk so much.
At least it's a bit of an icebreaker with translating for a new coach,
he's
I suppose.
Yeah, he's such a lovely guy, and he was really nice afterwards. So, yeah, that was good. But it taught me one thing that, you know, maybe I won't actually try and influence what the coaches say. I'll just let them get on with it and translate.
Obviously, Schalke are your passion, Stuart. So finally, it would be a little bad if we didn't at least mention the big game that you've got on Friday. Dare I ask what your thoughts are ahead of the Revere Derby?
Yes. Well, if I go from take it from the clutching at straws school of football philosophy, then I'm going to say, you know, we're going to go there. We're going to show passion. We're going to fight and. We're going to come away with a draw or something, or maybe sneak a win, but obviously, realistically, the other team, the Unmentionables, running away with things at the moment. They're playing very well. I had the misfortune of seeing them at Wolfsburg on Saturday, and they just rolled over Wolfsburg quite easily. A very energetic, young team, as opposed to our team of, slightly more mature players, should I say. Yeah, I mean, it could be a nightmare. I'm taking my son. It's going to be his first away derby. We could be on the wrong end of the hammering, you know, if it goes by the form book. But football is football, and you never know what's going to happen. So we're just keeping our fingers crossed and hope that somehow Schalke can pull something off. Because you know, the last few seasons, really, we've gone there and we've won very, you know, won quite a lot of the games. We've got a much better record than them in recent derbies. But this is the first time in quite a long time that we'll be going there as underdogs. It's not a happy situation. The mood amongst the supporters is, there's a lot of unrest. You know, anything like a 3-4 goal defeat could be the tipping point that just sees, you know, everyone finally come out against Magat. But if, on the other hand, if we do play well and get a result there, then it'll, you know, everyone will be really happy, and there'll be no talk about Magat, at least for a few days anyway.
Well, I wish you luck for Friday. Just remember, it is a derby game, so all bets are off, really. So, you know, keep your spirits up. Stuart,
indeed.
Thanks for chatting to me today. Hopefully you'll join us again in the future, and maybe to chat about Supporters Direct and the fantastic work that the organisation does, not just within Germany, but across Europe. So please do join us again. Thank you. Well, boys, that leads us on nicely to the weekend's games, and the big one at the Westfalen on Friday night is between Dortmund and Schalke. Stuart isn't too upbeat about his side's chances, and you can understand why. It's a really tough ask for the Royal Blues, isn't it?
I think it's got home win on it, wasn't it, really? You'd have to say. I mean, obviously, your derby games are a big deal, I don't think that you can apply any cliché to this one. Dortmund are... Even though they dropped a couple of points 2 weeks ago against Stuttgart, they played really well, and they played really well against Wolfsburg. In fact, they've just been playing really well, full stop. You know, they're just completely at the top of their game. You know, they don't seem to be fazed by anything, even the absence of Kagawa. You know, it's really hard to see Schalke getting it together. I mean, Schalke are just going to have to play extremely well. They're just suddenly, everything's going to have to click. Now, obviously it might. They've got some new guys coming in, but... You know, if someone put a gun to your head and said who's going to win, you know.
Well, you're picking Dortmund every day, aren't you?
Damn right, yeah.
Well, exactly. And speaking of those new transfers, it just proves that Magat loves a squad player, doesn't he?
Yeah, he certainly does,
I was covering the European transfers yesterday, and if I could have picked one name that I wouldn't be writing down, I might have picked Ali Karimi, and I'd have been really, really wrong. That came from nowhere, did it not?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it came from the inside of Magat's brain, but where, I mean, I guess he probably feels he needs some options. And so he's just reaching out there to bring in some experienced guys who maybe at least can give him at any one time, you know, half an hour, 15 minutes of action and a bit of stability. Maybe also a positive influence in the dressing room. Perhaps he's, you know, things aren't going too well in the dressing room. But yeah, Ali Karimi was right out there, as was Karisteas as well. You know.
Yeah, I somehow really can't see Karisteas as the man to save Schalke's blushes at the weekend.
He went
though.
To Al Avignon at the summer transfer window as like, meant to be the saviour of Al. It was rubbish, and he gave up and left. So if he wasn't up for the fight with Al, I don't see what.
He's not even up for the fight. Yeah, I guess. I mean, Schalke perhaps a bit better than Arl.
For the fans, I really hope so.
No, they can't be that bad. I'm inclined to agree with you. But I mean, however, I mean, Anthony Annan is an intriguing signing. I'm really looking forward to see what he can do.
Yeah, he's a really, really nice player. Seen at the World Cup. Seen a little bit of Rosenborg there. I think everyone links him straight to the kind of next Michael Essien, but he's more of a sitter, really good passer of the ball, so interesting to see how he gets on at Schalke.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him hook up with Gerardo, who I think is a superb player for Schalke. And if you've got that, as you say, Gibb, that kind of, you know, the more defensively sitting player in Annan, and then you maybe with Gerardo sort of like, you know, roving forward a bit.
Gives him more license to go forward, doesn't it?
Definitely. Especially in a team with Schalke who's struggling at the moment. And obviously a lot of people are sort of like taking it out of them. So Gerardo's, you know, when he plays, he's probably finding himself on the back foot a lot. Yeah. I guess he could probably do with some help there and really show, because I'm convinced. I mean, I think Schalke have got a really good squad of players. I genuinely do. They've got some fantastic players there. They're just obviously just really struggling to make it all the pieces fit.
Yeah, I think I think
Annan's a superb signing.
It's one of those teams that you can make an 11 on paper who are really look a good team, but it's just getting obviously transferred from paper to the grass.
Yeah, if that was in your fantasy team, or probably more accurately, if that was in your Championship Manager team, you'd be happy with that lot, wouldn't you?
Definitely.
But obviously on grass, it's
a bit different.
So what do we actually think? I mean, for the game itself, I mean, is it going to be close, or really it's going to be like shooting fish in a barrel? You know,
from watching the Hoffenheim Schalke game, if Hoffenheim could tear Schalke apart, and Dortmund are that kind of same fast break team, and if the same gaps are there, I think Dortmund will be more clinical in the finish and could get a couple of goals. And then Dortmund are a much better defensive team, so I can't see Schalke winning this one at all.
This is a difficult one. I mean, how does Magath play this? Because if he goes for it in a kind of derby fashion and goes after them, then Dortmund could easily pick them off. There could be a couple of goals down after half an hour, and then it really could, because Dortmund won't ease off like they did against Wolfsburg in the second half last week. They're the rivals, and they're going to want to punish them big time. So it's tactically a really hard one for Magath to call, because he must know his team is inferior, but he also needs to win the game, not because he's under threat, but because it's a derby, he's got to win it.
Well, he is under pressure from the fans, if not from the club internally. I mean, and you know, this is really on a knife edge. The fans are up in arms about what's going on behind the scenes. This could be the straw that breaks the camel's back if they lose against Dortmund.
I think that Schalke are going to play well. I still think that they're going to lose, but I think they're going to play well. I think that they're going to have the memory of the home defeat, very much alive in the forefront of their minds. If they haven't remembered it themselves, then their coach will certainly ensure that they do, and I'm sure the supporters remind them of it as well. I think that they're going to play really well. I still, however, think that they will lose, but I don't think it's going to be a turkey shoot.
Okay, well, let's move on. There are some really massive games this weekend, let's be fair, but let's stay with the derby theme, as it's the Stadt Derby in Hamburg this weekend. I was at the last one in September at the Millerntor, which was absolutely superb, up to the point that Mladen Petric scored the equaliser for HSV. Like last time around, St. Pauli are coming into a bit of form before the big game with Hamburg, and the opponents lost last weekend to Nuremberg. What do you think? Do my boys have a chance in this one? I think they do.
I agree, John. I think they've got a really good chance to have a go at Hamburg. what I've seen with Hamburg, they look really tame up front. I don't know if the talk to going to Madrid's affected Van Nistelrooy, but he seems not on top of his game. Petric scored a couple of goals, but he's not really this kind of the player that used to be really on form. And watching some Pauli play, I think that helps that the Molinto, where they got that really awful pitch and they kind of play up to the front man, knock it down, have a shot and goal. So they could really kind of ruffle Hamburg's feathers and get right in there, I think.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you there, I'm afraid. I think that although Sampoli played superbly last week, I think that they are, like all teams down the bottom of any division in any league, they are inconsistent, and I think that they will be inconsistent. Hamburg were pretty moribund, weren't they, last week, and I think that they will pull it around for a derby game at home with Van Nistelrooy there. And I think that with any uncertainties about any transfers now settled, I think that they will go about their business. I think that it will be a home win.
I'm going to try and take my St. Pauli specs off, but it's very difficult. But I'm gonna say that I think that this is going to be very close. Unlike the Revere derby, I think that this one has the true derby quality, where it really could go either way. That's what I saw in the first game when I was there. St. Pauli were really pumped up for it. It wasn't a game for the purists by any stretch of the imagination, the first one. And it was just a really hard battling game, and fantastic because of that. And I think in this one, I mean, Charles Tacky was fantastic against Cologne. I think that the relationship with Asamoah, if they can keep that going, and a couple of other players are beginning to, to gel from what we've seen. You know, they haven't really been turned over by anybody since the winter break. There's been a few draws. There's been the win against Cologne. I think that they're actually, you know, getting a little bit of confidence, and just stick them into that stadium where they're the complete underdogs against a Hamburg team, which, when I've been looking at them, when I've looked at them against Schalke, when I've looked at them against Frankfurt or Stuttgart the other week, I can't quite remember, but they win these games 1-0, and before too long, 1-0 just isn't going to be enough. I mean, they found out against Nuremberg and they couldn't break through, and they got punished for it. And I think they might not come out with all 3 points at the weekend.
Yeah, I, as much as I give St. Pauli a chance, I would say it's probably more likely to be a draw. I think that's, if I was a betting man, which sometimes I am, I'd go for a draw.
Okay, right. Now let's finish up our wrap of massive games. And how about this one for a basement battle? Borussia Mönchengladbach and Stuttgart. Now, this is a really vital relegation six-pointer, if ever there was one, and the Foles are coming into this game with a win last time out. How do we see this one going?
I think this is going to be an absolute pig of a game, I've got to say. I don't think this is going to be a game that anyone's going to... I mean, I can't believe it's a TV game. I mean, it's going to be dramatic, both two teams fighting for their lives and really, really low on confidence, and I think it's almost impossible to call. I mean, are we playing a prediction game? Because if you want a prediction, I'll give you a prediction. But frankly, you know, I mean, Gladbach will be buoyed, obviously, by the win. But I mean, I watched the game against Frankfurt, and you know, Frankfurt really should have been, you know, maybe two goals ahead before Gladbach scored. To be frank, now obviously Gladbach are at home, so they'll have the additional advantage. So, you know, maybe, but I wouldn't want to pick a winner out of those two. And Stuttgart have just been really awful team to watch. So I don't think it's going to be a great spectacle.
I just find Stuttgart in the final third of the field, their fans just must be so frustrated. Martin, I think it was Martin Harnik at the week. What a miss.
Jeez. 5 yards? 5 yards, open goal. I mean, this is confidence, isn't it? Or lack of confidence. And we've all seen it many, many times in the years that we've been watching football. And it's shocking. Oftentimes a good result can turn things around. But both teams desperately need a decent performance, is really what they need. And obviously the points. And they're just both running out of games. I think we're reaching the point where you have to look at Stuttgart and think they could be relegated. 16 points. They're on the level with Gladbach, you know. Everyone says Gladbach are going down, but still, I think a lot of people still feel that Stuttgart can make it. But they're both on 16 points. I mean, they're both really, really rubbish.
It's that old cliche of a massive six-pointer, isn't it? You think
Sechspunkterer, as they probably don't say in Germany. No. But
if Stuttgart can go and get 3 points away from home against a relegation rival, you've got to think it could hopefully kick on the season. When they brought in the Tamas Hajnal and the Japanese striker Shinji Okazaki, who, when I've seen him, looks, when he gets a chance, he will put a chance away. So
yeah, I agree with you about Okazaki. He'll definitely put one away. I've seen Hajnal in the flesh, and obviously he was extremely impressive a few years ago.
I think you keep that to yourself, Terry.
Yeah, well, you know, I just like to share these things. I saw Hajnal a few years ago when he was at Dortmund. They were playing Stuttgart, funny enough, and he was the best player on the pitch for Dortmund in a, I think it was a fairly convincing 3-0 win. I think he was a really, really good player then, but obviously he's kind of been superseded by the new younger players. And I do think he's got a lot to offer. And I'd like to see if he's got a lot to offer. But I mean, at 29, he's probably thinking, well, this could be a good chance to play for a big club. Albeit one that's in a really, really bad state. So that could be a decent signing, but it's a bit of a punt at the same time.
It's the same with anything you bring in, like a Japanese player, in the language is obviously, and it can be an issue because it's not. It was a Kagawa.
Yeah, it's a kind of Kagawa thing, isn't it? You know, everyone's going, oh, well, you know. Yeah. He's done well, we'll get him in. Never mind the fact that he's brilliant and he's had a full pre-season to sort of like settle in, you know. Let's get him in now and he'll be great.
Before the World Cup, I was looking at players to look out for, and Okazaki today, I think he'd scored like 6 goals in 8 games in friendlies before the World Cup. So, I mean, he can definitely put the ball in the back of the net, which is what, if you're down there...
Is he likely to play? Do you think he's likely to play?
I've no idea.
Absolutely. Well, it'll be interesting to see whether or not. I mean, this is the other thing. Of course, they got their new guys in, but they need to bed them in, and they need to do it now. They need to do it now, immediately.
I tell you, when I look at this game, and I think that both clubs are going to be disappointed. I think that it's going to be the same story at the end of it. I think it's going to be a draw because, you know, they're just going to both go for it, but cancel themselves out because there's not enough quality at the other end. I'm afraid to say.
I mean, that's for me, right. So
I think that there's going to be two sets of very disappointed fans come the end of the weekend. But hey, I've made Bundesliga predictions before and I've mostly got them wrong, so never mind.
8-0 to Gladbach, then. Stick it on your coupon.
Well, these two. Well, bear in mind that there could be some high scoring in this one because Gladbach saw off Leverkusen 6-4, and Stuttgart had a 7-0 and a 6-0 already this season. It could be anything, couldn't it?
Let's
be honest.
0-0. Yeah.
0-0 board draw. There we go. So, let's. Before we go, let me just take you through the rest of the fixtures coming up on match day 21. Mainz host Werder Bremen. Hoffenheim take on Kaiserslautern. Cologne have got a difficult match of their own. They take on some small club from Bavaria. And Hannover and Wolfsburg take each other on in the Niedersachsen derby. And there's Nuremberg who take on Bayer Leverkusen, and Freiburg face Eintracht Frankfurt. Well, that's all we've got time for this week. Please stay in touch with us by the usual methods. You can find Terry and I on our respective blogs, Terry at Bundesbag.com and me at BundesligaWorld.blogspot.com. Of course, we're on Twitter as well. Terry can be found at Bundesbag and I'm at Bundesliga World. And we also have an email address, which is BundesligaShow@footballfairground.com. At this point, I'd like to thank Andrew for joining us on the show. Don't forget to check out his blog, which is gibfootballshow.co.uk. And while you're there, you might as well subscribe to his podcast
as
well.
Andrew, thanks as well.
Award-nominated podcast. Sorry,
it's been a pleasure being on, guys. Thanks for inviting me.
It's been brilliant to have you on, Gib. It's got to be said.
Well, guys, that's it for this week. And to all of you out there, speak to you soon and take care.